Hello, my loves, and welcome to the Hungry for Healing podcast. My name is Emily, your host and newfound cheerleader when it comes to you healing your relationship to food once and for all. I know a thing or two about diet culture, insecurities around body weight, body image, disorderly eating, and overall just having a very poor relationship between yourself, your body, and your plate. I personally recovered from a 10-year eating disorder and started this podcast as a platform to share my own personal experience as well as the experience and science of others around their take on this food battle the world seems to be under. I hope you stick around if you're hungry to heal because you have an entire life to gain and a food struggle to lose as we venture on this journey together. Now let's get started. Hello, my loves, and welcome back to the podcast. This week, I'm going to share a little bit of a story, a lesson, a learning, but mainly just really wanting to help you identify where your disorder story comes from. So one of the biggest things that I think really helped me understand my eating disorder more, but also understand how to combat it, right? How to heal from it, how to learn from it, was really getting to the root cause of it. Because eating disorders are so much deeper than food. They're so much deeper than eating. They're so much deeper than like weight and body issues. And more often than not, we believe when we're in an eating disorder, because the world sort of tells us that they can be solved through food, right? They can be solved through your weight. That if you're someone who struggles to eat, maybe you just need to eat more. Or if you're someone who struggles to love your body, maybe you just need to work on loving your body more. And from my experience, while all of those are very good tools to have in your recovery toolbox, the biggest key factor is understanding where your eating disorder came from. So I'm going to share, and it might sound like I'm reading because I am, I'm going to share a little paragraph of something that I recently wrote in my phone that I wanted to share with all of you. And from this sort of, I guess, overarching theme or lesson, I'm then going to share a story of how this actually happened in my real life. So at some point in your life, maybe as a child, most likely, in my case, it happened when I was a child, you were told either directly or indirectly that you weren't good enough the way that you were. And specifically at some point, you were told that the weight you were at as that small child wasn't good enough the way that it was. And when you feel this sort of pain in life, it can be really hard to express it when you either are a small child, so maybe you don't understand how to express your emotions, or maybe you didn't feel safe enough to express them, right? It really hurts when someone tells you that you aren't good enough, but it especially hurts when then you have nowhere to share that pain. We as humans, we find comfort, we find happiness. I think we find deep connection when we feel that we're allowed to express ourselves, both good and bad. I think the greatest relationships in my life, both romantic and non-romantic, were always between myself and someone else where I felt that I could tell them like my highest of highs, but also my lowest of lows. Like being able to express full expression is really important. And when we're kids, we may not understand how important that is. We may not understand even how to do that expression, right? Or in my case, I felt that I wasn't able to. I felt that I wasn't allowed to show maybe that I was hurting. Maybe I was supposed to be this perfect person and keep this facade going. And you might feel the same way. Maybe you didn't feel safe to express yourself. Maybe you didn't even really know how, right? But that pain, that initial pain of not feeling good enough, especially not feeling good enough in your body or in the weight that you were in, builds. It sits inside of you. It gets hotter and hotter, and it has to be expressed some way, somehow. And that pain wants to be heard, right? It wants to be released. And in my case, a lot of the times, most of us, we think that ignoring it is the same as releasing. So we think that pretending that we're fine or saying that we're fine or distracting ourselves from maybe the upset that we're feeling is equivalent to release. And I want to make it very clear that it's not. And it took me a very long time to understand this. I thought that like keeping myself busy and dealing with other things in my life was the same as kind of healing. That if I just kept saying I was fine, I would eventually feel fine. And if I just kept saying I was fine, then all of my problems would eventually go away. And it's just not the same as actually being heard and letting it go. And my story is a testament to that. Because maybe like you and I, we felt that we had to be this perfect person and we couldn't actually release it. We had to keep pretending that we were okay. I always say like, keep pretending that we're fine, because I think as perfectionists, we have this like underlying belief based in our insecurity that people only like us when we're doing well, that people only like us when we're smiling and happy and positive, and we're never really allowed to be down or sad or even tired maybe. And for me, this was the whole, I guess, situation that really brought about my eating disorder and kept it going for a very long time. So I'll kind of share the story and then my eventual crash, because you can only pretend that you're fine for so long. My eating disorder came about because I was told by a doctor that I needed to lose some weight. So that was that initial like recognition or awareness of, oh my gosh, my weight is a problem. I need to take care of this. Like, I'm not good enough the way that I am, and I'm not good enough at the weight that I'm at. So I felt this like immediate pain. I was in the seventh grade. I felt attacked. I felt called out. I felt like now people are staring at me. People are aware that my weight is a problem. I missed this problem. A lot of the times our type A personalities, our perfectionistic personalities, feel that we are always in control of everything, right? I'm always in control. I always know what's going on. And this doctor totally blindsided me. Like before this moment, I had never thought that my weight was a problem. I had never thought about dieting, and I missed it. I missed something, and I need to fix it. I need to control it, and I need to perfect it. So I took that initial pain, and after that, for about 10 years, I consistently tried to distract myself from the pain, right? So I felt hurt. I didn't feel that I could tell anyone that I was hurt. I didn't necessarily know how to express myself, even that I was hurt in the first place. And so instead, I tried to control my pain. I tried to perfect my body, perfect my diet, perfect my lifestyle. I thought if I just continuously distracted myself with work, with productivity, exercise, organization, anything that kept my mind off the pain that I was feeling, to me, I believed that that was healing. I thought the busier that I am and the busier that I keep my mind and the more things that I do in my life, the better I'll be, because it will keep distracting me from that I'm really sad and I don't know how to express that. In other words, I thought that the more I pretended to be happy, the more eventually I would just be happy. If I keep pretending and I keep pushing it and I keep putting on this facade of like, I'm so happy, everything's fine, I'm great, I'm never upset, maybe I can morph into being that person. When in reality, what kept happening was the more that I denied my true feelings, the more that I shoved down my sadness, my insecurities, my loneliness, my pain, the more I shoved that down and just wished and wanted and pretended that it wasn't there, the more it became my complete reality, like 100% of the time. I went all through high school and college just living in this lie, so to speak, where people on the outside thought that I was totally okay. They thought that I was this happy-go-lucky, positive kid, that I was super athletic and smart and friendly, and that I never had any problems. And I think more often than not, this is the absolute like profile of someone who struggles with food, because we're so scared to show our true selves. We're so scared to say, hey, I'm not doing well, that we almost create this like alter ego. I've talked about this before in other episodes and in other blog posts of mine and things like that, that I think there's this big misconception around eating disorders that people who deal with them aren't aware that they're dealing with them. I think in my case, and in so many cases of people that I talk to, we're actually just overachievers. Like we're perfectionists to a T, and we're so, so scared to be our true selves. Because at some point in our lives, as I was saying in the beginning, at some point in our lives as a child, we showed our true self and we got shut down for it. And we got told that we weren't good enough that way, or maybe we got scolded in some manner for being our authentic selves. And so we build up this facade, like we build up this alter ego or this alter character of who we believe is perfect in the hopes that other people will think they're perfect as well. And if we can control this perfect image of ourselves, we hope to control the way that others see us. So that's what I did. The more and more I felt like I wasn't good enough, the more I felt sad, the more I kept believing this fake narrative of, well, if I just keep pretending and I keep acting like everything is okay, maybe everything will be okay. It's like the ultimate way of like disassociation. I just didn't want to admit that I was hurting, because to me, I felt like hurting was a form of weakness. It was a sign of vulnerability, and it was not good enough, I guess is the way to say it. So all throughout high school and college, I kept doing this thing where I kept trying to find little ways of myself and of my life and of my body to perfect and control. And I think what's really interesting is when I talk to other women who've struggled with eating disorders as well, we all have different definitions of like what perfect is. We all have different definitions of like what control is or what perfectionism is, because they're all based on that initial pain. So for me, my definition, I suppose, of perfectionism was based on my body, because that doctor said that comment to me about my weight and I immediately felt attacked for it and like that this was something that needed to be fixed. I had to fix my body. But another piece of my perfectionism came from growing up in a household where I felt like I sort of needed to always be performing really well. I had to always get good grades and I had to always be achieving and I had to always be accomplishing, because if I was doing that, I felt valuable and I felt like I was loved for that in a certain extent. And so my definition of perfectionism can be very different from someone else's, where maybe they grew up believing that to be perfect meant to always smile and to never cry. You had to always smile, you could never cry. And so we build these alter egos of ourselves in this perfectionistic sort of light. And we believe that if we achieve that, then we'll be happy, right? Then we won't feel this pain, because that must be the problem. The problem must be ourselves. I recently made a post on this where I was talking about perfectionism tells you that you're the problem, when in reality, perfectionism is a problem in and of itself. I kept trying to like keep this story going, keep this facade going. And when I finally graduated college, I moved out to Washington, D.C. and started my first actual job, like my first career. And it didn't go very well. And a huge part of the reason it didn't go very well is because back then, so it was about 3 years ago, I had a real problem with saying that it wasn't going very well. I was across the country. I'm from Illinois. So I was across the country in Washington, D.C. And people would call in and check in on me, my friends, my family, even my coworkers, you know, how are you doing? How are things? And of course, perfect Emily would just answer like, I'm great. Everything is great. Oh my gosh, I'm doing so great. Like life is wonderful. I'm busy and I love my job and all of these things. And then every single night I would come home and I would just burst into tears. Like I would be alone in my apartment, crying, so hungry, so insecure, so scared, so upset. And I felt like I wasn't allowed to like show this part of me. I wasn't allowed to express this part of me, even to a therapist. Like I truly believed that I was like the one outlier in the whole world and I had to just keep it up. I had to be perfect all the time. And that eventually, I guess, this would just go away, like this pain. Well, it came to be that I was in this pain for about 10 years when the time I was in DC at my job, and I couldn't take it anymore. That initial pain of feeling not good enough had morphed itself into 10 years of like constant anxiety, constant overwhelm, constant insecurity, and I couldn't relax anymore. I couldn't even express myself anymore. I wasn't even sure what was happening, but I could feel myself shutting down. And I had never experienced this before. Like, I think a lot of people talk about this as well in terms of like restriction, where that first restriction of food is quote unquote so easy and it's so addicting. And then for the rest of our lives, we chase that high of like perfect restriction and perfect addiction, but we can never reach it again. And I think for me, I felt the same thing with my personality. I felt like when I was in high school, I was so controlled. I never cried. I never expressed myself. I was always that perfect, happy, positive person. And when I found myself in DC, I was crying constantly. I never felt positive. I never felt happy. I just couldn't keep the facade going anymore. And I thought I was the problem. Like, I felt like something was wrong with me. I felt like I should always be happy all the time. Like, there's no reason I can't be. I should always be positive and perfect and precise all the time. There's no reason that I shouldn't be. And I crashed. I completely crashed. I ended up breaking up with my boyfriend, quitting my job. My eating disorder had never been worse in my whole life, and I was totally alone across the country telling no one. And I felt like I had to face it myself. I felt like I had to figure it out myself. I felt like, once again, I was such a failure for failing what? Like, I wasn't even sure. I guess I felt like a failure for failing my perfect image. And I felt like everything that I heard in my head, everyone else heard as well. And this is like the overarching story that I really want to make clear to people. I felt like, since I always thought negatively about myself, that other people thought negatively about me as well. And I thought that I always beat myself up in my own head, that other people were beating me up, you know, maybe behind closed doors, or that I was so hard on myself that everyone else must have been so hard on me as well. We think a lot of the times that the things going on inside of our head are reality. And we listen to those voices as if there's someone like down the hall actually talking to us every single day. When in reality, coming outside of my head when I was in DC, my boss thought I was doing an incredible job. And yet every single day, I felt like a total failure. My friends thought that I was like such a good friend and I was such a sweet person. And yet every single day, I felt like I was such an embarrassment and I never showed up for them and I never showed up for myself. And they thought I was fat. They thought I was ugly and all of these things. And then with my family, I felt like I couldn't express myself to my family because they would be embarrassed by me. They would feel anger towards me. They would feel upset about that I had lied to them for so long and all of these things. When in reality, all they wanted was for me to be honest with them, and I felt like I couldn't be. So the first thing is, no one is thinking what you're thinking. I can't stress that enough. And our eating disorder tells us that, like, this is what everyone thinks about you. And let me just like play this on repeat to really make it stick. And I had to do so many exercises of taking myself out of my own head and sitting in silence and really evaluating, like, what have I actually heard from people? And then what have I heard from my head? And this is an exercise that I still do to this day, where I will write down everything that I'm feeling inside of me, like in my own head. And then I'll write down everything that people have told me recently and like my real life, and they never line up, like not even kind of. So that's a great exercise to start with, to start to understand where these thought patterns come from, where this pain comes from. And then the other part of this whole story is expression, right? Allowing yourself to say, I don't feel good. Allowing yourself to say, I'm not doing well. Allowing yourself to say, I am so sad and I have no idea why. We think that to express, we need to have the answers. Because normally when we're happy, we can sort of know why. When I feel happy, I can say, oh, I'm happy because of this, and I feel really great because of that. Well, when you grow up telling yourself that feeling negative is a negative trait, feeling sad is a bad thing, feeling bad is a bad thing, you build all of these negative emotions over time that never get to express themselves. And then when they finally come to the surface, you try to make sense of it when you don't have to. When I feel joy, I don't sit there and go, oh my gosh, why am I feeling joy? Is this okay? I shouldn't be feeling joy. Like, I should be feeling this way and this, that, and the other. Like, positive emotions carry such a I guess, a better light in media and in social media, especially. Like, you only see the positives. So we welcome the positives. Like, we welcome them with open arms. If I have a good day, I am like, yep, I am having a great day. I feel great. Awesome. And I don't overanalyze it. When you feel a negative emotion, especially as a perfectionist, we feel almost guilty for having the negative emotion. Like, I feel bad for feeling bad. And I start to make this negative emotion mean something about myself. And that's what happened when I was a child. Like, when that doctor told me that I needed to lose weight, I took it so personally. I took that pain so personally. And instead of feeling it allowed, instead of feeling safe to share that with someone, to talk to my parents, to talk to my friends, I felt embarrassed that I felt sad. That was my whole problem. Like, that's how my eating disorder conspired. I really believe that. Because had I felt okay to express that, just as okay as I felt to express my happy emotions, it would have just passed through me. My eating disorder was me carrying all of this pain and fear and sadness and insecurity for so long. And then it created itself into anxiety. Maybe it's depression for some people, OCD, an eating disorder. I had to distract myself from how I was feeling because I felt like how I was feeling was wrong. I had to fix myself because I felt like who I was and how I was feeling was wrong. And you might be the same way. And I'm here to tell you that how you're feeling could not be more right now. How you're feeling is exactly how you should be feeling. How you feel today, tomorrow, this week, next week is exactly how you should be feeling. And the more that you can honor that and respect that and tell yourself good things, even when you feel bad, the easier healing will be. The more I tried to run from my pain and run from my sadness and run from my problems, the more that they just piled up. And eventually, I couldn't even deal with one of them. That was like my crash in DC. My body and my brain and just my being were so overwhelmed with just that initial seed of pain growing and growing and growing for 10 years. And until we allow, especially kids, to express themselves fully, both good and bad, to be rewarded equally for feeling good and bad, for being welcomed and invited to say, I am not doing well, I don't feel well, I'm not in a good headspace, and that's okay, the less we'll have to make sense of it and the quicker we can release it. Now, when I have a bad day, when I feel sad or bad or insecure, it's still not easy. I still feel it and I still sort of wish that I wasn't. But the faster I can say, hey, like, I'm not in a good mood today, that's okay. It doesn't change my value. It doesn't change how people see me. It doesn't change how much people love me. It doesn't change my worth. My emotions are not tied to my worth. The less I have to make a story about it, the less I have to try to make sense of it, the less I have to try to alter it. Because it's okay. It's totally safe to not feel great all the time. So I really just want to encourage you to think about, what was that initial pain or emotion that you felt that you weren't allowed to express? Who was it to? When did it occur? And what do you wish you could have said back then? That's my big homework for you this week, is write down, when did it happen? How you felt? Who was there, as detailed as you can get, and what you wish you could have said. Like, let it out. Maybe actually speak it. I speak my emotions a lot. Like, I will say to Luke or to whoever is around me, hey, like, I don't need you to say anything. I just need to, like, talk. Because for me, talking is getting that emotion out. It's expressing how I'm truly feeling. And I don't always feel perfect. In fact, I usually don't. And the more that I allow myself to do that, the more that you can maybe write letters to those old moments when you really wish you had said something, when you wish you had felt confident enough to express yourself, when you wish that someone had made you feel safe enough to cry or safe enough to share what you were really going through, the more you can let it go. And by letting it go, by actually feeling out the bad times, the more you're allowed to actually feel the good. When I tried to feel good all the time, I never felt good. I'm going to say that again. When I tried to feel good all the time and force myself to feel good all the time and force myself to pretend that I was doing well all the time mentally, the more I constantly felt bad, constantly. Now, the more that I just honor how I'm feeling and not give it so much meaning, not give it so much power over myself or my day, over my plans, the more it just becomes any other emotion. So I feel bad in the morning, maybe it passes, and I feel good in the afternoon. And I can actually feel, I can actually experience the feel goods, because you can't have one without the other. And you also cannot ignore emotions. So I love you guys so much. I hope that you enjoyed this podcast episode. Please connect with me on all of my socials. Please let me know maybe what you thought of this episode. Share it with someone that you think could really use it. I would really, really appreciate it if you rank my podcast by just leaving a review, good or bad. I want to hear what you're thinking about it, maybe some other ideas you have for episodes. So please connect with me. Everything will be linked down below, and I can't wait to talk to you guys soon. Have a great rest of your week, and I love you all so much.